You're listening to The Impromptu on the Hologram Radio Network, a multifaceted show discussing how technology, art, design, and equality converge on topics that matter most to us. From gaming culture to film and other forms of media, we examine the creative process and how the decisions we make shape our perceptions and lives. This is Alex Knight, and I am joined by Michael Norton. Episode 68, The Year That Was a Serial Killer. Today on the program, Michael and I reflected a little bit on the mass amounts of much beloved celebrities and musicians, actors, artists that died over the year. We only touched on just a couple of the recent ones and why people focus so much on celebrities when there are so many innocent women and children dying every day at the hands of ISIS. I mean, some of that gets covered in the media, but there sure is a lot going on that, you know, we don't tend to talk about very often, and it's peculiar. But it's not all doom and gloom in this episode. Michael finally got his Apple wireless AirPods, and he shares some of his thoughts with us about what the good and the bad is. And now that it's 2017, there are rumors that Apple is going to introduce a new iPhone, something that is between a 4.7 and a 5.5 inch size. Is that actually what's happening though? Stay tuned to find out. And now the show. When everything is broken.
Carrie Fisher.
Oh, yes. And then her mom the next day.
After. And then her mom. Yeah.
That was sad.
And George Michael.
Jeez, what are the odds? What are the odds of that?
Well, it seems to be that she died of a broken heart. She was apparently discussing Carrie's funeral and was talking about how she missed her.
Yeah.
And then she just had a stroke.
Well, right. My friends was talking about, what was Natalie Portman? Padme?
Yeah.
When Padme died in episode 3? She died of a broken heart?
No. Padme didn't die of a broken heart. She died because she lost the will to live.
Yeah, of a broken heart.
Yeah. I don't know.
I thought it was Vader's fault. Didn't the Emperor say something at the end of the movie where it's like, it appears in your anger you killed her or something like that?
Yeah, but that's totally a lie.
That makes more sense to me that she lost the will to live.
And then he's like, no.
There's actually a compelling theory that Palpatine used Sith alchemy to drain Padme's life force to save Vader.
That also makes much more sense.
That sounds
anything
terrible.
Is better than she's lost the will to live.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, literally any explanation is better than that.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
2016.
Yeah,
the
year that is a serial killer. It almost got me too.
I think part of the problem is that, I mean, obviously there are a lot of people that have died too young. But I think part of the problem is, and somebody else was saying this, that you know, you have the sort of last wave of celebrities that were sort of like really popular in the 60s and 70s now coming of age now where, you know, they probably don't have that long left.
Yeah.
So there's that. But then there's the whole, to me, like, it's unacceptable that in this day and age, people are still dying from sleeping pills and opioids. Yeah. Like, I mean...
Well, that's a huge crisis now, especially because of the whole fentanyl thing. It's like,
right? Because Prince died from an opioid overdose, right?
Yep.
And I
in
think
in his case, it was actually, like, I would argue religion, because he actually had a chronic condition that caused pain, and he never got it treated because he was a Jehovah's Witness, and of course they don't believe in blood transfusions. So he basically let it go untreated and self-medicated with painkillers rather than actually fix it.
That's just stupid. I'm sorry. That's just so stupid. That's just so reckless with your own life.
It's such a waste. It's such a shame. Because, apparently what he had, they could have easily corrected it with surgery or something.
Right,
and
right.
He was like, no.
Well, I thought it was something similar like that with Steve Jobs. Like, he wasn't a Jehovah's Witness, but didn't he try? He sought all these unscientific cures for his cancer.
His pancreatic cancer was a rare form that was easily treatable. But the problem with him was he didn't get the surgery soon enough.
Mm.
He turned to alternative medicine and a bunch of other stuff instead of actually getting the surgery that he needed.
Okay.
And he even, towards the end, before his death, he even said he regretted not getting the surgery sooner.
I'm not saying that he would have turned out okay had he, done the correct treatment as soon as possible instead of seeking alternative treatments. But I mean, certainly it would have given him a better chance had he just done what a doctor would have probably said, this is what you should do to get treated right away. Whether it was the surgery or whatever, I don't know. I don't know much about that particular cancer. So,
it was just this rare kind that, normally if you have pancreatic cancer, you're fucked. But this was a special version of pancreatic cancer where it was we can operate. And if we operate right away, you'll be fine. It's a one in a million thing, apparently. So, I mean, he could have lived if he'd had the surgery right away. Or at least been in remission. He certainly wouldn't have died when he did if he had the surgery right away.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
at least maybe possibly increases
where it's just a real shame.
Right. Maybe increases quality of life at least for a few years.
Yeah. If he'd had the surgery right away, I mean, maybe the cancer wouldn't have gone away 100%, but he'd probably still be alive today.
And going back to the whole Carrie Fisher thing and her mother, Debbie Reynolds, dying a day later, I didn't see any information that said what the exact cause of death was. So I don't know exactly what happened there, but the odds must be very slim of dying the next day like that. After somebody else's, after your daughter has died. I mean,
well, everyone is pretty, we don't have a definitive answer yet, but the consensus is
people say she died of a broken heart, but I mean, that's not,
well, specifically,
how is that possible?
It was a stress induced stroke.
And maybe that coupled with the fact that she wasn't young by any stretch of the imagination.
No,
I think she was 83.
She was in her
80s. So maybe her heart was
already
weak.
She'd already suffered two strokes before.
Okay, there you go.
So her system was already compromised.
Right.
So
age plus, weakened heart condition plus extreme trauma and stress all rolled into one. Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, it destroyed her, literally. She basically didn't stand a chance. Carrie was her world, more or less. They were estranged earlier in life, but more recently they became inseparable. They even moved into houses next to each other.
Wow. That's amazing. Well, I'm glad they were able to patch it up. It's just sad because she was, I've yet to read her biography, but her memoir, whatever.
She has three.
Whatever she's calling the current book, but I know there are a lot of personal stories in there that she's never revealed before, her whole thing with Harrison Ford on the set of Star Wars when he was married.
He
was 35 and she was 19 or something like that.
I actually just bought all of her books. I've started reading Wishful Drinking.
Mm-hmm. And didn't she write? I didn't realize. I mean, obviously she's a writer, but I didn't realize like how talented of a writer she was. Like apparently she did a lot of script rewrites during Star Wars, and then later on, didn't she write screenplays for movies?
Yeah, she was a script doctor. She rewrote a lot of movies during the 90s. Like, there's a ton of movies that came out in the 90s that wouldn't have been as funny if it weren't for her.
Yeah. And she didn't do a lot of acting in the 90s, but I guess she was just busy with other things. She had other interests.
Yeah, writing was pretty much her thing. And then in recent years, she's gotten roles on various things. She made cameos on things like The Big Bang Theory and so on. There's actually an Amazon series that she was in where she played the mom of this guy that got a woman in England pregnant and he has to look after things.
Wow. But you're right. She does have a good sense of humor. And every interview that I've watched with her, she's pretty funny.
Yeah. She was an immensely funny woman. Very honest, very forthright. She would just say whatever she wanted to say, and that was that. And it was kind of refreshing because a lot of people in Hollywood don't just say whatever they're thinking.
That's true.
And I mean, she was the child of old school Hollywood stars, and so like she knows all the dirt. And I mean, a lot of that apparently plays out in her memoirs. Already, like, she went into detail about the affair that her father had with Elizabeth Taylor. Like, Debbie Reynolds and Elizabeth Taylor were friends, and then Elizabeth Taylor's husband died in a plane crash, and then her father, Eddie Fisher, went to console Elizabeth Taylor, as she puts it. Oh, God, how did she put it? It was really funny. Where is it? Oh, yeah, here it is. About a year later, Mike Todd took off in a private plane in a rainstorm, and the following morning, Elizabeth was a widow. Well, naturally, my father flew to Elizabeth's side, gradually making his way slowly to her front. He first dried her eyes with his handkerchief, then he consoled her with flowers, and he ultimately consoled her with his penis. Now, this made marriage to my mother awkward, so he was gone within the week.
That's hilarious.
Yep.
And this is in the new book?
That was her childhood. So, I mean, she definitely had a colorful history. Let's put it that way.
Right.
And, of course, she was bipolar. And she was an outspoken advocate for mental health issues throughout her later career. I think she was affiliated with several charities, in fact. Just a genuinely wonderful, unique human being, and the world is darker for her passing.
Agreed. Did you see some of the pictures that became available with showing her little dialogue changes in the first few Star Wars movies?
Yeah, I saw that. Apparently, it's not actually real.
That's fake.
Yeah, huh. Apparently. I mean, she did rewrite a lot of scripts, but apparently Star Wars wasn't one of them. I think George Lucas's first wife actually did a lot of the rewrites, at least on A New Hope. I don't know if she rewrote Empire.
That doesn't surprise me. I think, not that it's impossible, but just because I think George Lucas is a weak writer, in my opinion. His ability to especially write women might not be so great, which is what it sounds like.
I think with Lucas, it's like he could paint a broad strokes picture of what the story is. Like, he was really good at that, but I think the problem came when he had to actually write dialogue. I think Harrison Ford famously said, "You can write this shit down, George, but you just can't say it," or something like that.
Yeah, I remember that too. It's hilarious.
So, I mean, yeah, like he could paint this picture of a narrative, but then when it came to writing actual dialogue, he was complete shit. And the proof of that, look no further than Attack of the Clones.
Right.
Oh, Anakin, hold me like you did on the shores of Naboo. I hate sand. Like, yeah, no.
You know, I know there are, or there were a lot of important and much beloved celebrities, you know, from musicians to actors that died this year. And certainly a few of them hit me really hard, especially Bowie and Prince for sure. I was just totally shocked that those two people, I mean, Bowie was so private. So, you know, a lot of people, well, most people, except for a couple people close to him, had no clue what was going on. And it just, I remember getting that breaking news notification on my phone. I think it was something like 11 o'clock at night. And to see that on my phone, I just didn't believe it. I just couldn't believe somebody, you know, that huge, that, you know, you put certain people on a pedestal and they almost seem invincible to you. Like you think they're going to be around forever, right? Even though obviously that can't be true, but it just never really crosses your mind sometimes. Right. And he had such an amazing career. So it took a while for me to really like come to terms with that. Wow. We're not going to be getting any new music from David Bowie.
Yeah.
And, I mean, what timing too to come out with like one final album like that with Black Star, which is kind of like an epitaph.
It really is. And I mean, the music video he did for Lazarus was basically,
yeah.
Yeah. That was his eulogy to himself, really.
Right.
He made his death into art, which is so Bowie.
Good way to go out though, doing what he did, you know, doing what he loved, and he managed to put out a great final album. And you know, when I watch those music videos, like, you know, you can tell even with all the makeup and lighting and stuff like that, he did not look that great in that video. You could tell that he was sick, which makes it even more sad. But Prince, I mean, Prince was a lot younger than David Bowie too, right? And like that could have been avoided because Prince didn't have cancer of any form. Prince died from, you know, an overdose. So, it's just so frustrating.
It really is. And I mean, it's kind of the same thing with Michael Jackson, like the whole thing with his doctor and the propofol and all of that. Like,
yeah, you know,
that
actually,
could have been avoided too.
I went back and I was reading Wikipedia this week about that whole thing. And they actually mentioned that, you know, had he been administered naloxone, that he probably would have made it. But one of the issues was, and I just couldn't believe the negligence too. That, again, this is what I read on Wikipedia. So they were saying that when this whole thing happened and they found, you know, the doctor, whatever, found him passed out, apparently he tried to call the security guards that were employed, that, you know, worked on the property. And apparently the security guards didn't answer right away, and then he had to like go find somebody to try to call for help. He couldn't call 911 because he claimed he didn't know the address to where Michael lived, which I thought was odd. And then he tried to like get the chef's attention, and all basically during this whole event of him trying to find help, and by the time the paramedic showed up, it was like 45 minutes later. And he was like, he was way gone. And I just couldn't believe, like, he just, like, Michael Jackson just sitting there for fucking almost an hour and nobody could help him. That's just crazy to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I would, like, given what's happening now with this opioid crisis, you might argue that he was the first casualty of it.
Mm-hmm. Right, because that was quite a while ago. And of course, the other thing that I was thinking about too, and I think there have been an unusual high number of like celebrity deaths this year. I think in comparison to, they were saying in comparison to 2015, there was like, it was quite a bit more. However, the other thing is, I thought about this. I'm like, yeah, you know, it's sad. It sucks when, you know, people you look up to, people you revere die, but there are so many people, thousands of innocent women, children that are dying in third world countries that nobody talks about. Like, what about all the people that ISIS keeps killing every single day? What about all the suicide bombers? I mean, yes, some of it gets into the news when it's a big deal, especially like, all, you know, the whole thing with trying to reclaim Mosul and stuff like that. Russia's involvement when trying to provide support to the Syrian government or whatever. But, you know, like, not enough people are talking about that. And people keep saying, oh, 2016 is the worst year. I'm like, is it? I mean, people die every day. There are people, like, statistically, like, there are people that are dying every minute of every day. And there are a lot more people than that are dying outside of North America. So we don't talk about that. I don't get it. It's just weird. The whole thing is just weird to me.
Well, I mean, the simple, sad answer is they're not famous.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. It's like, I think these deaths resonate because so many people just grew up with these people in their lives on every screen and on their record player, CD player, MP3 player.
And there's
been
a certain
to their concerts. Like, there's just that level of connection.
Right. Intimacy, even. You feel like you know that person.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they become a part of your life, especially the musicians. And so when they die, it's like a part of you dies, kind of.
Yeah,
like,
I get it.
All the memories you had listening to their music, like if anything momentous in your life happened to one of their songs, that kind of thing. Like, I think it's especially emotional.
Yeah, absolutely.
Those cases. But yeah, I mean, including all of the stuff going on in Syria and so forth, like I would honestly say 2016 is probably the worst year in recent memory. You've got Syria, you've got the Russian occupation of the Ukraine, you've got the hacking scandal with the election, you've got Trump winning, you've got the opioid crisis in North America, which is killing people at a faster rate than the AIDS epidemic in the 80s.
Right.
You got the
shooting in Orlando.
Yep.
Plus all the
multiple mass shootings. You've got
all the black people that have died from police.
Yep. You've got the people, the attacks in Paris and so on, driving trucks into crowds.
Right. And there was something that just happened over Christmas too. Again, with what was that? I'm just trying to remember.
Yes. In Germany, a Christmas market was attacked by a guy in a truck.
Right. Yeah, there's a lot happening, that's for sure. Definitely a rise in terrorism overall, like more frequency of these little events that are happening.
Well, I think the terrorists are essentially taking advantage of the fact that Europe is letting Syrian migrants in, or that Syrian migrants are migrating across Europe because of the open borders.
Yes.
So they're basically taking advantage of that chaos and slipping in with them. Like, it's not the actual Syrian migrants we have to worry about. It's people that are slipping in undetected, using them as background noise. because that's where the problem's really coming from. Like, we're all looking at the migrants and people are going, oh, there's terrorists in there. There aren't. That's the thing. The people actually carrying out these attacks aren't even from Syria.
Yeah.
They're just hiding in plain sight like wolves in sheep's clothing. They're just taking advantage of the whole situation to spread further terror and chaos. Because if they successfully carry out an attack, who are the politicians and the less knowledgeable citizens going to blame?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to say, oh, it's these migrants. We have to get rid of them, which, of course, makes their lives worse, which is what the terrorists want.
I know the vast majority of people that, you know, move their families to another country to escape, you know, a war-torn area, the majority of them, an overwhelming majority of them are just regular people, and they're hard workers. But then, you know, it's, you got these extremists that just make it bad for everybody. And it just sickens me that somebody like that would, you know, move to another country, take advantage of the country's generosity and open arms and take advantage of its resources,
mm-hmm.
and then just turn around and, you know, conduct terrorist acts. It really bothers me. Because on the one hand, I feel like I'm torn. Like, I think it's great, like, you know, providing humanitarian aid. I think it's great. You know, on the one hand, it's good to accept, like, what Canada has done to accept Syrian refugees. But on the other hand, there's the whole issue of, well, how are we dealing with the sudden spike of people that are coming into this country? How is that going to, what about all the other questions that are unanswered? How is that affecting the economy? Like, how are we helping them start new lives? Is that actually happening? Do we have the resources to do that? Are these people actually going to, like, are they finding jobs? Are they contributing to the economy?
Yeah, they absolutely are. And the government is helping them to learn English and to integrate into Canadian culture. And that's happening quite well. Like, it's going really well. And obviously they're not taking more people in than they can handle. Because obviously they all have to be processed, they all have to be vetted and go through security clearance and so on. That's why we're not suffering the same issues that Europe is, because we're only letting Syrian migrants in.
Now, what's happening with Germany? Because it seems like things have gotten out of control. I keep hearing that. I mean, obviously they seem to have some issues. I don't know what it is about their process. They maybe that the vetting process for people that come into the country isn't as good as Canada. I don't really know what's going on there.
Like I said, it's because of the open borders. You've got this mass migration of people. There's millions of people that have fled Syria and are like pouring into Europe, right? So in that chaotic scenario, it's very easy for bad actors to just slip in undetected.
I see. Okay.
So like you've got this massive crowd of millions of people just walking across Europe. Of course, like one or two terrorists are going to go, oh yeah, we can just like hide in the crowd here. It's easy. And then they have fake passports and fake documentation and they just slip in and the chaos, right? And then they do whatever they're planning to do unless counterintelligence mm-hmm. stops them.
Yeah, I haven't seen a lot of, I mean, I'm just reading what I see on the CBC and stuff like that, but I haven't gone into depth to try to figure out what Germany's actually doing, if anything. Like, have you read anything about what they're doing to fix this issue?
Well, I think it's difficult for them because they've let a bunch of people in and there's immense pressure from the right to basically kick them all out. Like, there are elements in Germany that are essentially blaming these migrants for everything that's happening and blaming Angela Merkel for opening Germany to these people, which is absolutely the reaction that the terrorists want, because it's playing to their fears. Like, oh yeah, we let all of these Muslim people in, and now, oh, terrorist attacks. We better get rid of them. Like, that's exactly the reaction that these people are hoping for, because then they can say, oh, look at how bad Germany is. They're treating Muslim people like garbage. Join our fight, right? Like, this is what they do.
Right.
They sow that fear and hatred, and they capitalize on it. They say, look at how these people are treating you. Wouldn't you like to get back at them? It's all too easy. So, I mean, we have to fight against that. We have to reject that line of thinking, because it's exactly what the terrorists want us to think.
Well, I agree with
these
you there.
These people are not to blame at all. They just happen to be in the wrong place when these people are doing stuff. So, I mean, really, it's just down to counterintelligence stepping up their game and finding these people before they do what they're going to do, and implementing safety procedures that prevent attacks like this from happening. So, for example, all of the New Year's Eve celebrations, they've put dump trucks filled with sand around where the people are going to be. And that should effectively prevent any kind of truck attack. Because if a truck runs into a dump truck filled with sand, you know what's going to happen? Absolutely nothing.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's dense, right?
It'll just hit right into the truck, and the truck hitting the dump truck will just flatten.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really worried about New Year's Eve, to be honest with you. Just across the globe,
and
there's just so many opportunities.
Very worried too. Yeah,
there's so many opportunities for things to go wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, when you any area, any public area where you get a mass amount of people together, it's such a target. And yeah, now more so than ever, I just really hope cities across the globe really up their security game and come up with a solid plan.
I think they will. They're already working on it. Like I said, they've got the dump trucks, they've got additional security, they've got a bunch of stuff that they're probably not telling anyone about. They're really focused on making these celebrations as safe as possible, and hopefully they are.
Have you heard anything about what the city of Vancouver is doing for New Year's Eve?
Vancouver is having a New Year's celebration. There's going to be fireworks and festivities at Jackpole Plaza. I think it's the second year in a row that we've done it. So you'll be able to go over there. I think they light the torch. They'll have like food and vendors. And then there will be fireworks at midnight and a countdown, I assume.
Well, of course, there's going to be a countdown. It wouldn't be New Year's Eve if you didn't have a countdown, right?
Although, I don't know. I think last year they did it early for the kids. I don't know if this year they're actually at midnight or not. I'm not sure exactly. But, yeah, I mean, obviously, we're not New York or London or Sydney, though we ought to be. But that's another story.
Another story for another day. Speaking of another story, why don't we talk about something that's a little bit more uplifting? Or maybe not. Depends what you're about to say about your experience with Apple's new wireless AirPods, which my sources tell me that you are in possession of a pair.
Yes. In fact, there is one in my ear right now.
Oh, excellent.
Which is allowing me to hear you. The AirPods are out. They sold out absurdly quickly. The backlog on the online store now says an enigmatic 6 weeks for shipment.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah, that's all. Though, if you hurry to an Apple store, there you still have a little under an hour. Apparently, a bunch of stores in the Lower Mainland have inventory, though they might not at this point.
So it is possible that I may be able to walk into a store and buy a pair without, I mean, do I have to do I need to wait in line like the iPhone? Do I need to put on a waiting list? I mean, can I just walk in and ask if they have them?
Yeah, you basically just walk in and say, do you have any AirPods? They are continuing to get shipments. There are various sites that you can go to track the real-time inventory of Apple stores. I don't know how well they work exactly, but there was a flood of them in stores earlier today. I don't know if there's still any around. But yeah, as for the actual hardware, they're really well done. I have to say, like, I think this is the most recent example of Apple's hardware and software teams really firing on all cylinders. I do have some criticisms, but we'll get to that in a minute. But the overall build quality of these things is impeccable. The charging case that they come in, basically they're slightly thicker AirPods with a stem for the microphone and the battery, and an additional infrared sensor that allows them to know if they're being worn or not.
And do you want to talk about the sound quality at all? Any initial impressions? I've heard mixed things about this. Some people say, well, they sound the same. Other people say, well, I think they're marginally better. So it'd be interesting to see.
I think they're better.
Yeah. Yeah, they do sound better.
Because of the increased size, they fit better in the air. They seal better, so they have better isolation. I'd say they have better bass than the AirPods. The soundstage is a bit cleaner. I don't know. I'd have to plug in some AirPods again to compare. But
somebody
to my ears,
is going
they sound better.
Okay, so that's good to know. I think somebody, if it hasn't already been done, somebody is going to have to do a deep analysis comparison and actually somehow, I don't know if this information is being published anywhere and if there's got to be some way that you can somehow analyze the AirPods frequency response and compare it to the AirPods. There's got to be a way to do that. Because people do these technical reviews for other headphones all the time where, people publish these graphs that show the frequency curve of the headphones that you get
yeah,
this with speakers too, right?
Theoretically, they could play different sine waves until they can't hear sound anymore. And then it'd be like, okay, yeah, it can play frequencies from this to this. I would bet that it's probably marginally better, but I think it sounds better due to the improved isolation because the actual buds are thicker slightly. So it ends up sealing itself in your ear better. Though, depending on your ears, your mileage may vary, which is probably why there's mixed reviews. For my ears, they happen to seal in there pretty well, so they sound better than the original AirPods, but
as far as the way they fit, I never had a problem with AirPods. And it's strange because most of those like in-ear type earbuds, they don't fit like the AirPods, which are just like a piece of molded plastic that are just contoured for kind of like one size fits all. And for some people, they fit really well, and they fit well in my ears. I actually have a problem with most earbuds that have even high-end ones. Like, I know you rave about the RHA earbuds all the time, and they make some really high-end stuff. But the little rubber piece that goes way inside your ear, that just bugs me. It's something about that, having to shove that thing all. I always find that I have to shove those things in really far so that they don't come out. And I try the different size rubber plugs that they come with, and none of them are as good as the $35 AirPods, which just go in once and they never come out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in your case, the AirPods might be a good solution then.
Yeah.
But to me, the
wireless stuff is not like, for me, the wireless thing is not a big enough selling point for me to justify $220 Canadian on a pair of those for something that isn't that high-end sounding. I don't really want to experience music through something like that. I mean, they're okay, well, probably.
The thing
for...
is, with the better isolation, they do sound better. And yeah. I would say they sound good enough.
You know, I really need to listen to them. Is that, can you walk into an Apple store and get a demo of them?
Yes, you can.
Ah, okay. So that's what I'm going to do
though
this week.
Not all stores may have demo units.
Well, I will have to check
they're,
out the
they're
local
They're literally
store.
Selling them as fast as they can make them at this point.
Well, so, I know even for earbuds, they usually have like a sample kit.
Yeah. I mean, they are supposed to have them, but again, because the inventory is so constrained.
Right. They're
going
to try to sell.
Have it.
Right. They're going to probably try to reserve every single one that they can to sell.
Yeah, exactly. You might try the Pacific Center store. They usually get stuff before anyone else. Maybe Metro Town.
Yeah. Well, I'll call around and see who has them. Yeah.
So as for the actual hardware, it's simple. It's beautiful. The way it works is flawless. Like, you open up the box and there's this tiny little chiclet box, basically. Like, it's absurdly tiny. You're just kind of amazed at how small it is. And you put it near your phone, you unlock your phone, you flip the case open, it flips open with this pretty satisfying movement, and it closes with a satisfying click that I'll put next to the microphone.
Yeah, that's a nice snap. Is that magnetic?
It is partially magnetic, yes. And the AirPods themselves, the slots that they go into are also magnetic, so that you can actually turn the case upside down and they won't fall out, which is nice. So the instant you open the case, it actually pops up on your phone, like, absurdly fast. I don't know if it's zero pair Bluetooth or if they're doing some kind of NFC magic, but the second you pop it open, it shows up on your phone and you just hit connect and that's it. You're done. That's all you have to do. And then as for the AirPods themselves, when you put one in your ear, it instantly pairs to your phone and it just plays this nice chime sound. And this happens basically as soon as you put it in your ear. It's that fast. And then you can just start listening to music right away. And there's basically no delay. I have experienced occasional interference, but nothing deal-breaking.
I've seen a few people complain on Twitter about some weird issues. Hopefully those are edge case issues, or maybe they just got a lemon.
Yeah, I would think so. On Mac Rumors, there is apparently a charging issue with some of the cases. They're depleting much quicker than they're supposed to. Mine seems to be fine. I fully charged it the other day.
Do these things need firmware updates? Is that something that Apple would ever do?
Not to my knowledge, but it's possible that a future version of iOS could automatically update the AirPods somehow.
Right, just somehow push an update to it. I'm sure they must have built in a facility to do that on the chip, on the W1 chip.
I would think so, because if you go into the settings, the AirPod settings aren't in a special thing. If you go to Bluetooth and then click the information button next to the AirPods while they're connected, you actually have access to all of the preferences. So you can set it to automatically switch microphones based on which earbud you have in your ear. You can also set the double tap gesture to be Siri or play pause, which is where we get to the criticism. So currently the AirPods have the ability to access Siri by double tapping either of them. And that's great, but the only problem is there's no sophisticated gesture system for playback controls. You can't change the volume. You can't skip tracks. You can't pause. All you can do is Siri.
Yeah, that's not great.
And that sucks. You basically have to pull out your phone to control your music or use your Apple Watch if you happen to have one.
I was gonna say, now having an Apple Watch, does it make that easier? Can you control the volume of the AirPods through the Apple Watch? That's my question.
Yes. The playback control does actually have a volume.
Mm-hmm. Setting. And I assume you can change.
You
like,
can control
pod.
That. Watch.
Can you change tracks through the Apple Watch while the AirPods are in?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, you basically have a miniature version of iTunes in the watch that okay. lets you play anything you want.
I mean, I'm not going to excuse the fact that you can't do those things via, you know, tapping the AirPods somehow. But I'm wondering going forward if this is going to be more of a trend that there is going to be more and more things that the Apple Watch does, like little tiny conveniences where you start to really realize, like, I'm actually really missing out by not having an Apple Watch. All these little things that add up that would make my just make little things a time saver I just had an Apple Watch.
That's absolutely their plan. Yeah, that's absolutely their plan.
Well, especially now to the
iOS device.
Touch to on was it what's it called on Mac OS Sierra now, if you have an Apple Watch you can unlock it, right?
Yep.
So those are all little things
that Apple automatically unlocks now.
Yeah So obviously Apple's thinking about this, and we're definitely going to see more of that type of thing with the Apple Watch as it evolves over the next couple of years.
Yeah, I think we'll see a big change with the Series 3 next year. We'll probably see new health sensors. We'll probably see a slight design change. They might switch to AMOLED displays.
Be interesting to see if they keep the digital crown or not for a third time around.
I'm really not sure. Like, to me, it's vestigial. I almost never use it. So I could see them getting rid of it, but they might still be in love with the whole skeuomorphic, it's like a watch thing. I don't know. But I never use it personally. I always just use the touch screen for everything.
And you don't have a problem with that?
Just about. No. Most of the apps are built really well for tiny controls. So it's not too difficult mm-hmm. to use.
So other than the fact that you have to use Siri some things on the AirPods, are there any other glaring issues?
I wouldn't say so. They work exactly as they're supposed to. You can have one AirPod in as a headset, which is what I'm doing right now. Or you can pop the other one in and use it as stereo. And the thing is, the really great thing about this, it does that instantaneously. So I'm using one as a mono headset right now. But if I take the other one out of the case and put it in my left ear, it will instantly switch to being stereo headphones.
That's interesting.
Now, if you take one out, it does pause playback. But that's just for music. If you're on a phone call, it does actually just switch to being a headset, which is cool. It doesn't cut your call off, which would be pretty bad of them to do. And they didn't. So, yeah, they pretty much thought of everything with this.
What would
and
you
I've
like to
see? Made phone calls on it. It's really good. Mm-hmm. The beamforming microphones are incredibly high quality. People have tried recording with AirPods, and apparently it doesn't sound as good. My thinking is that the phone app and several other apps in iOS use some sort of private API that enables the full microphone functionality of the AirPods.
Mm.
So, like, there's some additional audio track that they're able to access that a regular recording app doesn't necessarily see potentially.
Yeah, that's certainly a possibility. So what do you think Apple would want to address in the next version of the AirPods?
increase battery life if they can. I mean, they last a really long time anyways. I've almost never had to think about recharging them, really. The other thing, too, like the watch, it's so comfortable not having wires anymore. Like, I just have the AirPod in, and I don't really realize it's there. It just kind of sits in my ear and plays sounds at me. And I think that's just, that's quintessentially like how Apple is approaching wearable technology. It's like they're building these very precise devices that you put on and you basically don't notice them until you need them. So the AirPods sit in your ear until you need to listen to music or you get a phone call. And the watch sits on your wrist until you get a notification or you want to do something with it. So, I mean, it's transforming tech into this thing that just sits with you until you need it, which is great. And it's really a testament to their vision for this wireless future where you have this ecosystem of devices that are all interconnected and work together. And I think that's absolutely what they're trying to build with these devices, because looking down the pipeline, looking like 3-4 years down the road, maybe all you need is AirPods and an Apple Watch for 80% of things that you need to do.
I was going to say, but you finished that sentence off with, yeah, not everything, but certainly a lot of things.
Like, it'll get you where you need to go, point A to point B. It can call you an Uber. It can do, like, all of those things. You can order food ahead of time. But if you want to check Reddit, no. You got to pull out your phone. Like, I'd say watch and AirPod will probably become the quick shortcut for most, like, limited interaction daily activities. So the watch will be how you pay for things, and the AirPods will be how you communicate with Siri and get phone calls and that sort of thing. And then for everything else, you have your phone. And I think that's the vision that Apple's kind of trying to put forward here. And for the most part, I mean, there's definitely room for improvement everywhere, but for the most part, at this point, I think it works.
Well, any other closing thoughts about the AirPods? So you're not returning them, are you? You're happy?
No, I'm not. I'm very happy with them.
Now, what happened to your T20i RHAs?
Oh, they're still around.
So how are you working this in? Because you've got... Are the AirPods your primary way of listening to things? I mean, why? Because you spent all that money on the RHAs. The AirPods,
right. The AirPods are basically my commute headphones. And then when I'm at work, I've got the Solo 3s. And then if I want to listen to music at home or at work, high quality, I've got my heavier duty Sennheiser cans, or I've got my RHAs. So yeah, I mean, I have way too many headphones, but they all kind of fit a particular niche in my music listening schedule.
That makes sense. Because
the AirPods are super easy to use going on the bus, going on the SkyTrain. I don't have to worry about wires. I don't have to worry about like this big bulky thing on my head or around my neck.
Yeah, that's my biggest issue with wires. They get snagged on things. I've had so many times where the AirPods get, you know, yanked out, or, you know, I take my phone out of my pocket and of course I drop the phone. And when I drop the phone, that pulls on the cord and yanks them out of my ears, which hurts.
Yeah. Yeah. Or somebody bumps into you and pulls the wire with them.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Like this has probably happened to everybody hundreds of times. And the thing is, the AirPods completely get rid of all of that.
Yeah.
And I mean, just for that, it's worth the price of admission, in my opinion.
Sure.
Like, I think you drastically underestimate how freeing truly wireless headphones are until you start using them. Like, you can just pop one in and you've got access to Siri, and you can just casually listen to music while still being able to hear everything around you, wherever you are. And you can't do that with other headphones.
I'm going to have to get a pair eventually.
The only downside, of course, is they're so tiny that the usual trope of like, well, you want to be left alone, so you put these big giant headphones on your head. Obviously, they don't cater to that because they're tiny and people might not even realize that you have headphones on. So they definitely won't stop people from trying to talk to you. But
well, I guarantee you people will always do that anyway.
Some people anyway.
No, exactly. Exactly. That's a people problem, yeah. Not a technology problem.
So, I mean, that's up for debate, but I think this is definitely an important step forward. And, I mean, obviously it would have been better if the AirPods had come out sooner to really sell Apple's vision of this wireless future. But now that they're here, they do exactly what Apple said they would do. So, yeah. They're a great product, and if you can manage to get your hands on one, you're going to love it.
It's going to take a while, but
unless you're like
I'm really
a huge audio snob.
It's going to take a while, but I'm really excited about the day that wireless headphones become something that ships with every iPhone.
Yeah, we're not there yet. I mean, based on how the AirPods are flying off the shelves and how they can barely make enough to keep up.
A couple of years, I mean, probably, right?
I say that now, but I mean, it's possible they could ship AirPods with the 8 Plus, like the, depending on the SKUs that come out this year, like if there really is only one OLED model, I could see them shipping AirPods with that model potentially. But certainly I would say, 2018, I would say that they could feasibly ship all the iPhones with AirPods at that point, because by then economies of scale will have worked their magic and the AirPods will be even cheaper to make. They'll have refined them. They'll have found cheaper components. They'll fix their yield issues and so on and so on and so on. And they'll basically be able to throw them in for the same price. Well, I say that, but then it's like AirPods cost $35, AirPods cost $219. So it's like, maybe not.
Well, they're making huge margins on it, I'm sure.
Maybe for the next, yeah. I mean, it's probably a huge margin, but at the same time, it's like they still have to sell them for a certain amount. I don't know. Maybe for the next few years, it's maybe not possible, but
yeah, it's just speculation at this point. I think definitely a couple of years at least.
Yeah.
Now, and what is going on with the improving them? What is going on with iPhone? Because I'm hearing now, again, of course, you know, take it with a grain of salt, but now there's information from suppliers that there is going to be a mid-sized iPhone, a phone that's between a 4.7 and a 5.5. I don't necessarily believe that, but that's supposedly happening next year.
Yeah, I don't know. These rumors are wildly inconsistent. There's a bunch of stuff flying towards the wall. I think they're hoping something sticks. I don't know. But to my knowledge, as long as they can sort out their supply issues, all the iPhones this year, I mean, I say this year, I mean 2017. We're almost in 2017. Almost, thankfully. All the iPhones should be OLED bezel-less, no home button, etc. And it's possible that the bits and pieces that these people are hearing kind of fit that, because I've said in the past, moving to a bezel-less OLED curved screen means you can have a bigger screen on the same size phone. So on the 4.7-inch chassis, that means they could feasibly have a 5-inch screen, which would be consistent with these reports. So the new regular size iPhone could be a 5-inch phone, 5-inch display, but the actual size of the phone is still consistent with a 4.7-inch. Just as the new Plus could be a 5.8-inch or 6-inch screen and still fit on the old 5.5-inch chassis.
I think it would be a mistake. I think it would be a mistake to introduce another model in between. I think, like, what you're saying about bezel-less phones
is... It wouldn't be in between, though.
Okay.
It would replace the existing one. So the iPhone 7 is a 4.7-inch screen. The iPhone 8 would be a 5-inch OLED infinity display that wraps around a phone that's the same size as the 7. And then the 8 Plus would be the same size as the 7 Plus, except the screen would take up the entire front and end up being like 5.8 or 6 inches across. Because once you remove that bezel, the screen can be like way bigger than it currently is. Because Apple has very generous bezels on their phones.
Sure.
Especially compared to the competition.
Not to mention the fact that if you remove the home button and have Touch ID built into the display, well, that's so much more space to work with.
Yeah, exactly. So assuming that they can get enough OLED panels, it's going to be all the phones. Like, these reports of having two phones that are LCD and then a third more expensive phone that's OLED, it just doesn't make sense to me. Like, they could bring in the whole iPhone Pro thing, but people would rightly see that as a huge cash grab, where it's like, well, we already had these two phones, and that was simple and easy to understand. You get the smaller one or the bigger one. And the bigger one usually has like some extra perks with it, like the dual lens camera.
Yeah.
And that's fine. But then it's like, oh, now there's this even more impressive phone that costs way more, but it's super shiny, you guys. You have to have it. No.
By the way,
I think would be a bridge too far.
I picked up an iPhone 4 a couple of days ago. I thought it was fake. I could not believe how tiny that thing is.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, that's the crazy thing. It's like, we even used those phones. Like, those were daily phones and they were fine. But then, having used a Plus for longer than a week, suddenly those phones seemed like toys. It's crazy how that happens. It's the same thing moving to a 4.7 from the 4-inch. You're just like, whoa, suddenly I have all this space. And then you look back at the old phone and it's like, wait, what?
Yeah. You've been listening to The Impromptu on Hologram Radio. I'm Alex Knight, joined by Michael Norton, as always. We'd appreciate if you could show your support for this podcast and the work that we do here by becoming a regular sustaining donator. Donate a dollar every month via Patreon. You can do that today by going to patreon.com/hologram radio. It really does make a difference. Subscribe to the show in iTunes to ensure you get every new episode each and every week, or your favorite podcast player of choice. Wherever you can find podcasts, we should be there. We're on TuneIn and Stitcher and now Google Play as well. And we'd appreciate a review wherever you can leave it, because it makes us feel good and it also helps other people discover the podcast. You can follow us on Twitter. We're at The Impromptu. Michael Norton is at Zen Impulse. I'm at Zero Distraction. You can find us on Facebook as well if you just search for Hologram Radio. And you can send us email the old-fashioned You can send us an email the old-fashioned way if you'd like to send us some feedback. That email goes to the both of us. It is theimpromptu@hologramradio.org.
And on that note, thanks for listening, everyone. See you next time.